Yeah, I sent it.
February
19th. February.
Yeah. And I sent it to Ted, but I don't think I sent it to Tech. I don't think she can remember.
I don't know.
Takes about an hour to make.
Really? You made it yourself?
Yeah, takes about an hour.
No kidding.
It just seems like you're so excited growing, you don't have them make them. It really takes an hour.
It's nice.
Looks like you went all west with that.
Yeah, I thought you got it out there in some Wyoming.
Yeah, you're going to tell us that you're going
You put one piece over the other, overlap them, and so.
Yeah, but the thing that you say is what more people who can do things say, and so. That solves it, right? You have to be able to do it. And so.
No, you take the machine, you overlap it, and you go through it.
You know, it's like cooking, where they give you this recipe that says different things, and then somehow...
Then I'm sorry to get back to this one. What's up, Ed?
No, we're at it.
Oh, no. Really? Is that what you're wearing?
No, it's Auburn.
Oh, you're up there?
Yeah. This is in Michigan. So this is Michigan. This is VCU. And this is Michigan. We're on the... Right on the free throw line.
Who are you rooting for?
Yeah,
Michigan. And Michigan State. I have two shirts on.
They basically have
yeah.
Why?
I'm from Michigan.
Yeah, well, you know,
gotta be.
You haven't heard my story. My husband taught at MSU for 13 years, and then one of our sons went to Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Accepted. My husband said, your mom's writing that check. And he was serious. He never would write a check.
We were in Ann Arbor watching it with some Michigan State fans on TV, and they were explaining to me that usually what happens is when Michigan plays close, Michigan State fans will buy up all the clothing of the opposing team and root against them, and vice versa. So the idea that you might have both, you probably was the rare ones that actually would do that.
Did you go for undergrads to
No. Just my kids blew up there, and so we went there.
Okay.
I don't think they start till 6:15.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would
leave
her. So anyway,
my
daughter is with
Mary. Okay.
So she's talking to the corporate marketing. And he says, by the way, I can get you into the VIP. Thank you. So here we go.
Is that true?
So here's this big circular bar like this, and then when you look at these rooms in the back, they have a secret name.
He says, you didn't want the game to lead then.
Yeah. Why go to the game?
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a good time. Especially with the results of the two games.
What you got? Two games. They could be seen.
25 and 22 point wins the game.
Hey, James, can you stand down?
Yeah,
this year?
Oh, he's not coming?
Yeah, here he's having a surgery.
Yeah, he's
having
a surgery.
Oh, okay. Was that all we missing?
No. Okay.
I'll go in
and
we'll wait a couple minutes. I was going to ask you, how long ago did they have pre-trial? have it's a definition of pretrial. Okay. Understanding they've never had all the supervision and
they claim to have until the 90s.
Until from when? In the mid early 70s, I did a study with a graduate student here on simple things like a system to get people out on their own recognizance by going through a checklist. It was an early version of this stuff. Yeah, it came from it doesn't matter. There's a Vera Institute. And what we found was by applying that simple thing, we could get people out on their own recognizance who were otherwise not. So at least in the 70s, they didn't have anything formal going on. And it made a big difference, but the judges never wanted to do it.
We asked him, I think, when they came. And maybe Deb had mentioned to me that they had it here at one point. I asked Joe, and he didn't seem to know what I was talking about. I mean,
right.
So maybe they called it something different. Or
I mean, I met with Joe Gordon. He didn't mention that they had it, and then they lost it or something.
Some people talk about it from the past.
Well, the other thing is, I'm going to answer just for a second. I'm going to ask that we call the meeting to order because we are going to talk about that on this list. And we're going to call the meeting of order at 6:05. I'm going to ask for adjustments to the agenda. I just want to say that I met with Chairman Astrid Bergson today and asked her if it would be okay by her permission if I could chair and try to coordinate the meeting and the outcomes for the task force so that we can meet our time frame. And if it's no objection to the committee, we ask for your support to do this. I see no objection. I also ask that we edit the agenda before we approve it. I also talked to Mr. Richards, and we meet on Sundays. We don't meet again until this Sunday, so we won't be presenting funding recommendations today. So I'd like to strike that from the agenda. And I'm told, after I spoke to Mr. Kilgore today, that he and the committee discussed the reentry, and he hadn't made any changes since the last meeting, of which I missed. And I'm going to remove that.
Let me just give you a
2-minute update. Okay, so we'll keep it, but it was a brief update that we just want to do.
Can I also make a suggestion in the agenda? That I think it would be most sensible to separate the mental health and the substance abuse reports, because they're somewhat about different things. And
okay.
And Bruce has a bunch of things to say that probably should have an opportunity to say, separate from what I'm saying about mental health. I can explain the difference later.
I'm just suggesting
we separate them on the agenda.
Okay. I have a comment on that when we get to it.
Okay.
You're right. We have a generic one that covers both mental health and substance abuse, and then there'll be specific sub-recommendations under that, I assume.
So I'm just gonna keep it as C, mental health, and then C1 would be the substance abuse.
Fine.
Any other changes to the agenda?
I have two things. One, I'd just like to add a little note about the public meeting with ILPP.
That, we can do that under announcements.
The other thing that I think maybe we should talk about is a little bit more agreement on the structure of the reports, because we're getting different kinds of documents. We talked about it before, but I don't think we actually came to a conclusion about what the final products are going to look like, and we have different sort of models, so maybe we could try to get something that you know, as people move forward.
I read in the minutes that was an item of discussion about designating someone to actually write a consistent report. We'll talk about it under five as to how the report is going to be compiled. Okay. I just want to move on and approve the agenda at this point, and then we'll talk about those items under those sections. Any objections to approving the agenda? And we move to approve the agenda as stands, as the corrected stands. Public participation, is there any public participation this evening? Seeing none, we're going to close public participation. Approval of the minutes, any corrections to the minutes of March 4th, 2013? I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Been moved and seconded. The March 4th minutes approved.
Item 5, committee reports. Specifically, I took it from the meeting minutes on this.
Carol, I'm sorry. Can you take a vote on the motion to approve the minutes?
Oh, yes. Oh, we need to vote for the motion to approve the minutes. All in favor to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
No, it's already.
No, it's already. It's been moved a second.
Okay, I'm all for that.
Any objections to approving the minutes? CNN. I have it. Okay, committee reports. Before we go to the ABCD concept, there was something brought up in the previous meeting about A, the process of compiling all of it into one document, how we want to do that. And I also was reminded and went back to the document that Darlene submitted with the format and thought that we can kind of discuss how that could be useful in putting together the final draft and how it was submitted to the county board. So if we can do that under item 5 before we go to 5A, that would be useful. So, James, were you
going to say something? Well, I just thought, I thought that generally what the format that Lynn and Scott had put their report into is pretty useful, that we have a short kind of, I don't know, 2-3-4-page document, which would be what we're intending the county board members to read. It's not heavily footnoted, but, well, you know, has enough support. And then we have a more detailed report, which would be in an appendix. And, if each one of these ABCDs kind of follows that kind of structure, and maybe try to put a top on how long the shorter piece can be. I mean, I think 4 pages should be the absolute maximum.
I'm thinking more like 2.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's better.
Less than 1.
2 okay. On the summary, and then, like you said, in the appendix, you can put the rest of the details.
Right, but I think we should also put a limit on what's going to be in the appendix, because otherwise, if they people come to 25-page reports, they're never going to get read. So, I mean, I don't know what people
have. They might. People have 25 pages worth to say. I mean, very often, there are 25 pages with 10 pages of content. I think if someone has 25 pages worth of content, it will get read.
Other recommendations?
One thing I would probably, and this is, that is actually the framework we mentioned earlier. So instead of calling it appendix, I like the overview. I say keep it to two. And I have to tell you, I sat there and go, oh, gosh, how do I get rid of one more line to keep it at two? But I like that. As a general rule of thumb, I have thought anywhere from 6 to 10. Instead of calling it appendix, I call it the full report.
Right.
Because people don't read appendixes.
Right.
And this is actually really, I see the full report as containing some additional real substantive points that we just, it's for the people who do want to do all their homework going into
the first one's the summary and the second one's
it's the full report. Right.
Are there any other different suggestions on that topic? 2 pages for the summary and then the full report, no more than 10 pages.
Well, I'll defer to your view. Unless there's anybody else who thinks what I'm about to say, which is that my impression was the presentation of our preliminary report, it wasn't wildly effective. I had the impression that most people did not read it in any detail, that it somehow needs to be more, I don't know, in the form of something that's manageable for busy people to read in a short amount of space, and then if they want to ask questions, if they ask questions about it, or we could have documentation to provide, but I think we need to get something that's kind of apparent right up front to people, that's short enough to
we'll have a one-page introduction, and then the summary reports, and then the full report. But part of the problem with the preliminary report was that it was mostly principles and not much of what county board members want to read, like what, when, and how much.
So then let me then clarify what we're all thinking when we talk about the form this will be and the length it will be and so on. Are we talking about limiting this report to these specific proposals? Or are we talking about representing those, what you were just referring to as the principles?
Like adding to it then in this
report. Because my impression is that we're not all clear about that. So mostly what I'm reacting to is what you just said, that
it's not clear.
It's not clear because those principles are not going to keep people's attention.
Yes. We can refer to them as, for instance, we've been looking at one, does this apply to 1, 2, 3, 4 on that one page? I think we can refer to it and kick them back to it. But I don't think that you can make that part of this, because it will be more than anyone will read.
So what I hear Asher saying, I'm calling you James, is that the previous, the initial report, or the
preliminary
thank you, report, it set the framework for the principles and the work that the committee is fleshing out right now. These will be referred to as recommendation number 5. That Lynn put on here. So whatever is put forward from the committee will have some connection to those recommendations that was in the previous preliminary report. We won't restate the preliminary report. We'll just put in the who, what, when, where, and how in the short
term. Let me
call on James. And
I think there's a little bit of a problem with that in the sense, first of all, that we have new board members that weren't there for the preliminary report. I mean, I think somehow these principles, I mean, the recommendations at least need to be part of the document that people get. So, I mean, there needs to be some background. When we're talking about the two pagers now, there needs to be some background that goes with that. I mean, with any kind of presentation, there needs to be something like that. I mean, I think the recommendations should go with that, even if we just list them. But secondly, I think if we're going to have longer documents, I think it might make sense to have actually two separate documents, a full report and the overviews, and they're presented to people separately so they don't get a 60-page document with a 10-page, very short thing at the front, which then they get intimidated out of looking at because they've got 50 other pages sitting there. So that we have two, we have an overview, which maybe is like 10 pages altogether, and then this other document, which may be 30 or 40 for the readers.
So you're just saying separating the two?
Yeah, physically, but I think there has to be some kind of intro. The recommendations that the proposals address have to be, I think, part of the overview, because I don't think we have new board members, we have other people that never saw that. And, I mean, unless we put that as a third document, I mean, I don't know.
You mean stating, in this case, she stated the recommendation and then the description of the pretrial services is there. You're saying make sure the stated recommendation is actually in the short report.
But what I'm saying is we're going to have a list of recommendations. That has to be in the short document so that people have easy access to that, and then the proposals that refer to the specific recommendations would be part of that. I mean, I don't know, we could put the recommendations at the end or we could put them at the beginning, but I think they need to be part of the that people
think it'd be the appendix to refer to.
Right.
Here's the proposals and here's the appendices that we're looking at. Preliminary report could be one of the appendices. One thing we can do is the old members of the board have the preliminary report. We could pass that out again.
We can post three reports too. I mean, if you want to do that, if you want to post the original progress report and refer to it, and we'll post them all on our website. And then if you want hard copies, I mean, however you want to do it, but if you want more than one document, we can post them separately.
We did this document as far as our visioning exercise, and what I'm wondering is if it would work to do our visioning statement first, and then underneath that bullet point what the recommendations are under which thing they fall. Like, for example, if we're trying to eliminate racial disparity, if we're trying to have less... The recommendations are going to go in that vision somewhere. We're recommending these things to address this. And then that could be our like summary 2 pages, the very first page or two. So that would give them the recommendations. If we want to add something to that, we can. And then it would also give them our vision, which we worked on. And then, so that's only 2 pages long, maybe one if we can fit it in one page. And then we add that our, like, fleshing out of the recommendations, which would be the short versions, And then maybe we can have a second part, which we're calling our longer, but I would call that the, we can take each recommendation then and flesh it out in terms of research, more, you know, whatever needs, things that fit in, like how that supports the recommendation. So that could become like the 6 pages that supports that. So it could be both, like this is the 2-page, really brief summary that we could even do a little slide or something about. And then has all the recommendations and all the, and the vision, where we're going and what our recommendations are. And then the next 2 pages would be the very short version for everybody to read. And then the longer is, if people are more interested in certain ones, they can read the detail of how we got there and is it rational and that sort of thing. Would that make sense?
I have several comments. And this is where we kind of got off somewhere. There were, I don't think it was the last meeting. It was the meeting before that, maybe. Maybe the last meeting. We were going to talk about our progress report had referred to, or no, the report had not. My draft had referred to core principles and that those would guide the coordinating council. But our draft progress report did not refer to them because we didn't have any chance to talk about those. And those are basic things like restorative justice, community responsibilities, least restrictive sentence necessary, et cetera. I don't know if that's not the same kind of document you're talking about, but it's foundational, and that those are kind of basic principles that inform decisions for the future. So I just wanted to mention that we never did talk about that, and that's something that kind of affects the framework. I'm hearing a lot of ideas. I still go back to kind of most of the documents that I have seen and worked with, and I've worked with a lot of policymakers. I still think you need something. 2 pages. Some of the recommendations, the short ones for evaluation, would probably be just a page. But and then a full report, and I think the confirmation that is well researched should be an endnote, not a separate appendix, so that people. I know I don't want to. If I were looking through something, I still want to look through as few documents as possible. That still leaves the question of core principles. Are they going to be part of our work product? I'm not sure we need to. I mean, at some point I'd like to talk about them, and nobody's looked at them in preparation for that. But again, short, 2 pages, short. I still feel 6 to 8 is short. And if you want, you either have the overview and then the overview and the full report. But I think some people would want one document that's got the short and the long all together. I also feel that the progress report should not be submitted. That was preliminary. It's a lot of the stuff is in here, but I think that's just part of the history of this project. And finally, we do have the framework of these recommendations, but there's a few new ideas like the strategic plan that may be folded into some of these or maybe separate and something you'll be talking about, master plan, I guess. But the framework here is already, I think, if our newcomers endorse it, as far as the general recommendations, you know, we've got that. James?
Oh, yeah, two things. I mean, I agree with that. I think we do need to actually revisit the recommendations because those were preliminary. I don't have any problem with it, but we just need to formally do that. Secondly, I mean, I'm still in favor of having one short document, say 10 pages total, that it captures the concrete proposals and the background information. Maybe what details of what goes in there, maybe we can't quite flesh out now. I don't know. We have core principles. We have the visioning stuff. We have the recommendations. I'm too sure how all that fits together. But I really feel committed to a short document. I mean, having watched the board members come in with these 200-page packets for meetings, I just sit there and think, no way. And if ours happens to be like the bottom of your back or something. So, I mean, a full report separate from the name, but a short thing.
Well, this will be presented at a study session.
Yeah.
That will last some time. Yeah. So to drag them through it.
I think, certainly for me, serving on this board, you know, I was one of those read all the pages people. I like to read what I didn't understand, but it was so much to read. So it helped me to get the summary. I often wanted, I wanted the department to send me the summary, or I'll say, hey, Ms. Houston, what does all this mean? Because I don't have all this technical detail about the land use agreement, so I need to have the short version. There are board members like that, and there are board members who like to read every one of the details. I think we should accommodate both and do provide the shorter version, the 10-page document with the opening, with the recommendations, with how it fits into the large plan, and then the second document would be the completed full report, because I am the person who would read the summary and say, oh, you know what, let me go to the full report on that subject. I may not want to know. So that helps me be able to get caught up and on speed faster.
And I would also advocate for, and I would put that in the summary couple of pages, but having something that would appear more visual or table, or I think people learn things differently.
Yes.
It's like, this is like, you know, this looks like a pie chart or something. We're not into pie charts, but I'm saying something like that, and then the narrative, and then the numbers. There's people that do all one of those three ways. So,
and then the question will that be in the appendix or someplace else? Do we have short, full, and then that? Patsy's been advocating that from the get-go. I came across one that can at least be a beginning point. That might be more user-friendly in showing, when we say the vision, they're going to see from the get-go these people.
Like a flow chart or a
right.
table.
I found one
yeah.
somewhere that can at least get, when we get to that point. I don't, so I know Dookie.
So I kind of got a sense that there is some agreement on making certain visual, making short report for summary reference, and then the full report is a separate document. Access to the preliminary if those board members wanted to get it, but we wouldn't necessarily provide it again at this point. And
I just have one more question.
Yes.
Are we actually doing a full blown 2 pages or 6 pages on every number of recommendations? So there may be some that we're not really fleshing out right now.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Some of them will be shorter than others.
Yeah.
Some may be a single page. We've only come up so far when we're talking about recommendations on the funding sources, we only have a few to deal with, so it's going to be a much shorter piece.
Would it be helpful, Frank, because I kind of sketched this out, trying to figure out if we can meet this timetable. The ones that will be longer, pretrial services, and
this
long is still, and then the behavioral health system of care, three, the community diversion and sentencing options, and four, reentry and other programming. The others are very important, but I don't think they'll take as long, such as coordinating council, training, evaluation, public education, et cetera. So, and then funding. So we've got four that are not long, but they're complicated. There's a lot. They're going to take a lot of time for us.
Yeah. So that piece, especially the pretrial that I read from you that we have tonight, is much more detailed. And you're going to have a full report for that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they won't. It's too many pieces to pretrial in order to get it in a summary version. So I think that would be helpful. Some of these are going to be shorter than others, and I think we'll be fine with that. So I would ask at this point if we could, we have minutes here that allow us to refer back to the process of how the report is going to come out. And then I just wanted to ask the question of the committee as to if the committee felt comfortable trying to designate a single writer. So as people submitted their recommendations, and they've come in many forms, if we want to try to get a volunteer, recruit somebody who can be the designated writer on this.
Can we wait and see the response to the pretrial services of people? I mean, I think I've gotten the feedback from the emails, but can we put that on hold? Because
sure.
That would affect this is totally...
If the format is good.
If it, that might come up hold to our decision.
All right, sounds good. Let's move to a pretrial services.
Do you want me to give... I'll give an overview of this and kind of the approach and thought process. Trying to look at this through the lens of people who are skeptical, people who may not even know what pretrial services are, and the like. And I'm actually going to start with the long version, and then I can explain what was in the overview, which may be read by, I'm not even sure if it will be half of the board, or most will read the long version. But I, you should have the revised, I made revisions in light of the feedback that I received from you, so now the recommendation is right up front. Then I, we give a feel for the reality that most of the people in the jail haven't been convicted of anything, so that is a real target population. We then turn to what's happening now, and not only a quick overview of just some of the steps, not all, but also an effort to give credit for what's been done. And I think that is important. It's important because when people have done good things, they should get credit for it. But secondly, so that our report will be correctly perceived that it's not an attack, that this is building on the efforts of others and we're looking towards the future. But then you'll note at the bottom of page one, it is highlighted some of the fundamental deficiencies in the current process. And then the next section on page two talks about the professional standards governing pretrial release. I thought it was really important to highlight those because those standards will be so helpful in addressing not only pretrial release programs, but other parts of the pretrial decision-making processes. If there's over-reliance on money bail, for example, and I don't have a full sense if that's true, but there may very well be. In any event, next paragraph shows how many organizations support pretrial services programs, and you'll note the diversity of those organizations. We've got judiciary, we've got law enforcement, we've got community corrections, and NACO, National Association of Counties. And I decided we got one recommendation to put those organizations in a footnote. Everybody else seemed to like them in the text. So I made the judgment call to keep them in the text because, again, it shows in some ways right now we're behind the times, and it's really time to catch up. The specific language of the National Sheriff's Association resolution was also included because it captures not only the key reasons, but this is the catalyst for this project was what's happening in the jail, and this shows that the sheriffs feel pretrial services programs are a must for any criminal justice system. Talked about prevalence of the programs, and then turned to their two primary functions. Explain those functions briefly. First of all, the screening function, and then listed the. And this is just some. But these are, when I started pulling all this together, I already believed in pretrial services, but I became even a stronger believer in the value and importance of this of these programs. So the benefits of the screening function, then describing the supervision function, and also talking about how that can aid in how we handle mentally ill individuals who are coming into the system. That's mentioned on the bottom of page four. The advantages of the supervision function. And then finally, turning to the recommendation that the county should adopt this. I should tell you there's one other additional change. It's just small, but I just didn't mention it now, so hopefully we can make this change. I know, Darlene, you wanted us to potentially list some outcome measures, and I decided that level of detail should be in the text, but I found a great resource today that's got outcome measures. It's such a good starting point. I really want it in the record, so I'm suggesting we put it in a footnote. I'm hoping you wouldn't object. It's a fabulous resource developed by the National Institute of Corrections. And as far as the cost information, the reality is this. I know that people want to know, is this going to cost $250? Is it going to cost $225? $275? That's hard to say right now because, for one, we haven't gotten the risk and profile information from ILPD. Maybe you folks have some information that can make it. My guess is that we have a lot of low to moderate risk people in the jail. I'd be surprised otherwise because that's the norm. But it's hard to say because the more people who have to be supervised when on pretrial release, that takes up time, and so then you need more pretrial services officers. Having said that, based on the fact that McLean County has two, we're a bit bigger. McLean County said they're stretched. I talked to the person overseas pretrial services in Springfield, and based on all of that feedback, I thought we would need three. And then looking at the numbers, et cetera, I came to a range of 200 to 250,000. But Scott is reaching out to McLean, and I don't know if you want to pick up the ball at this point.
I have talked to the three people that handled it. The handle is there. There are two probation officers. One spoke to those of you that were called from last summer, and then they have a supervisor who came with another one. I think she spoke very much, Ms. Bailey. Their salaries alone would, of those three, would be about $145,000. And then I think Lynn is correctly pointing out you certainly need to go above that just with travel expenses and probably some secretarial support and things like that, which could be, those individuals have other obligations within the probation department. So it could be possibly, if it's structured the same way that McLean County is, we could possibly use people. It wouldn't necessarily be three new positions, but probably two at least, and then maybe one other could kind of do double duty in some capacity, probably the same as the secretaries in some degree. But I don't think your estimate is off. $250,000 I think would be appropriate. The one thing I was going to say was the difference. We have a little larger population. But, and this is something that I think we should talk about afterwards as well, but because their structure is a little bit different and that they have to evaluate more people because they don't actually get a range for 10 days there as opposed to the next day that they get here, it's possible we could get by on even the same amount or even maybe one less. So, for example, McLean County started, it had only one person, Sarge, the guy who spoke with us. And if you get the right individual, I think for what we would need them for what we need the program for, it's possible we could at least get further started with that. But yes, I agree to run it in the way that we would hope to do it. I think probably that estimate is pretty much right on point.
So maybe we could leave it that if it's all right with you, Scott could get something in writing to me, and he and I would talk, and then we'd send out. If this section is approved, we'd send out the final language, and then anybody can run it up for that segment. But it would be helpful. I have to say, I may be wrong on this, but the county board would say, we want to know what somebody close by is doing. But what makes me a little nervous about this, I'm not sure that McLean County is the model. They have pretrial services. I'm glad they do it. They actually do it for the right reasons. They didn't. I heard this from the state. They didn't do it to save money. They did it because it protects public safety better. And I think that was very laudable. But having said that, I sense county board will say, well, they're right near us. So what's the money?
Well, and having been in both state attorney's offices and worked in both courthouses, I can say that while I wish we had their pretrial services and the way that's structured, everything else is much worse there than it is here.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason they need it so badly is because it takes them 10 days to actually read the charges to these guys. So, and in Champaign, they figured out a way to get them charged the next day. So you're exactly right. It is apples and oranges in some degree because of just the rest of the way the criminal justice system works, even in a like-sized county, one county over. I don't know if Sangamon might be a better example, and we can talk more about that.
Right.
Can I ask a question? I know it's a public meeting, so I don't know how candid you want to be about this, but do you have some sense of what you were just saying about, and I think it's your judgment as well, that we do a lot of things better and therefore quicker? Do you have any sense of the how receptive the state's attorney will be to this sort of a proposal? Because my impression has been thus far, a feeling that they feel they do a very good job and don't need this. So is that an issue that needs to be addressed or should be addressed, or is it not an issue, or what do we think of that?
I would like to, just as a chair, ask that we don't project at all the thoughts of the state's attorney at this point, nor put Scott in the position to have to answer that. And I understand where you're going because I've read some other things, but sure. I just don't want to derail the conversation too far away from what's currently on the table.
Well, that's why, if I may, just to clarify why I'm asking
I think I understand.
I don't need an answer for it. What I'm saying is, having doing this for a while, listening to what people are saying, I think that we need some fashion to take into account what our strategy for presenting information should be. That's all.
I'm
sorry.
We not only have this very quick arraignment process, but anyone who comes in by midnight will have their charges by one the next day. It's not a 10-day deal. It's all zap, very quick.
And that's true Saturday and Sunday, which is unheard of.
Yes.
Downstate. No. Outside Cook County, I don't know of any other counties.
Kelmo can't believe weekend arraignment.
No.
He just can't believe it. That's nowhere but here.
So I think there's some pros and cons to that process, yes. But nonetheless, I don't want to derail this conversation. I would like for us to speak to any recommendations you have or approval currently of what we have for what was being presented for pretrial.
There was one more. Piece of this, the last paragraph that was added that I'd like to explain.
That we don't have.
That, no, it's on your draft. It was what I circulated, but it's on page 7. It should be,
The March 28th draft or the...
It says March 28th. I sent it on Tuesday. I added a paragraph... and I actually wrestled with this. I've gotten some feedback. James, this is several of your comments, that it was to give more or additional specific examples of how pretrial services programs have operated successfully, specifically the impact on jail populations. I added in an endnote an example. So I pulled up into the text to... that have been profiled by two respected organizations. I have to tell you, whenever I cite statistics, I'm always wary, because you know that line, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. So without having studied Okaloosa County, for example, you know, you're always wary of somebody going in and saying, oh, but this happened there. But I've seen this, a reference to Okaloosa by multiple national organizations, for example. So I think this addition is responsive to your request that the county will want several examples. I did not cite McLean. McLean came in and told us they have had savings of over $600,000. And maybe Scott will have follow-up. Maybe you can have follow-up conversations with them. But as I recall, part of it was they were transferring people out of the county, so they saved money that way. And we are not doing that now. On the other hand, if this affects construction here, how much we construct, if we have to do something, if the downtown jail is closed, then it becomes more comparable.
Sure.
But that is a question for you, whether we need to take a deeper look at what happened in McLean County in terms of its cost savings. James,
I'm going to up the ante again, but I think that information needs to be in the summary. I don't think it's intuitive that people on the board are going to read about pretrial the information about saving jail space and saving money. I mean, I don't think it's intuitive that people on the county board are going to necessarily equate that or have any idea of the scale. And I appreciate the concern about statistics, but I think it would be worthwhile to say, you know, studies of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah have shown significant changes or something without necessarily referencing the stat in the overview. But I think we need something that shows the county board members what the actual impact of this is on the issue that we're at hand, which is jail bed space and ultimately money. And these seem to be the things that need to be out there to to motivate the board members to vote for this.
I don't want to raise their expectations unnecessarily. I don't think we can save as much money as Bloomington would, because we are not the disgraceful operation that they are. We've got such a zippity-doo system now, and it's so fast that a lot of people who would be in jail in McLean for 10 days waiting arraignment are not in jail here. So you're not with the pretrial services going to save that much. It's other people you'll save. Those are just too uncomfortable, and I think probably Florida is the same.
I would agree exactly with what you're saying. And my concern, maybe not expressed so clearly, is that it would be quite easy to dismiss those kinds of statistics for the very reason that you're saying that, well, they're so inefficient, and we're very efficient, so this clearly doesn't apply to us. I'm not so sure that the point to argue, to push, is essentially a dollar-saving, space-saving point. For a number of reasons, as this thing has developed in conversation, I think the sheriff said right from the beginning that they weren't concerned about total space. They were concerned about the configuration of space and how it could be used. So both in terms of what their argument is, they don't feel overcrowded, and they do feel pretty efficient. Emphasizing those statistics as the rationale, I'm afraid, actually will divert and maybe even weaken the case. There are many other good reasons for having a formalized, organized pretrial services.
I think, for instance, you put one guy in jail for 2 weeks, and he loses his job, and that's going to cost the society $50,000. I mean, you're talking big money when you talk ruining people's lives.
Well, I agree with him, and I think, you know, what we talked about, because I think the statistic, whether Sarge said it or just, I know it from Diego, that there were years they were spending $750,000 to house people out of county. So they started that far back, and so that's why the money was a bigger issue there. But here, it's win-win, because as Lynn said, it's a safety issue. That's the main thing. It's making sure the people who are in jail are the ones that need to be in jail, and taking a second look at that. So it's a safety issue, and the fact that we save money by not having them in jail, that's just a bonus, frankly. But it's the underlying issue of we need to take a look at who's in jail and make sure and give the court enough information.
Keeping the people in their homes with their families and being taxpayers instead of costing us money.
It can be, but it's a matter of, and that's how it was sold to McLean County and finally got the courts to sign off on it, which was we're not second guessing your judgment. We're giving you enough information to make your decision. So before you have a public defender who only gets, you know, 30 seconds, or probably more, 5 minutes with each person, and that's probably on the high side, to get information for a bond argument. This is somebody who's giving them a lot more information for compiling a report, and that's what the court's using to decide what bond is appropriate to make sure you're going to show up and protect the community. And so I think Lynn's correct on that. I think we should go more for the safety aspect, and that we're going for, we're actually trying to analyze who we are keeping in. And then the savings is a bonus to that, but I agree the statistics would be very difficult to know that.
I believe that the savings, showing the savings is important to the county board, because we talk about that all the time. And then secondly, it is a national trend. We should not be 10 years behind the national trend. The national trend currently is that communities are having to look at services that can reduce their costs in incarceration. I can send you 5 articles in 5 minutes. So we know that that's the national trend, and we shouldn't be behind the eight ball on that. And this county board certainly shouldn't be 10 years later talking about this very thing, trying to talk about another jail, because ultimately you'll never get a building that's going to last forever. So you have to implement the services at this point, and they have to see the cost savings, and the public safety issue is the number one issue. Beds does not mean public safety, so I think everybody understands that already.
Let me explain your options as I see it. Again, I printed this document on 2 different printers, so if I'm citing the wrong page, but it's the last full new paragraph. You would have these options. One is to just keep that paragraph right now in text as is, and it refers to two specific examples, Mecklenburg and Okaloosa. And McLean County, we may or may not mention in a footnote, recommend that we mention in a footnote. We'll just leave it open right now. Another option is after that sentence, having said, we refer to the improperly constructed implements can yield manifold benefits. They are not confined to the conserving of fiscal resources, refers to public safety, avoiding the suffering that attends pretrial incarceration. Having said that, even if one were inclined to disregard these benefits, other jurisdictions have reported a marked decline in the size of their jail population and significant financial savings as a result of those programs. Then we could just end it there. The rest is in an endnote. That's one option. The other option is to just give one example in text, Mecklenburg, and then in the footnote, add Okaloosa and possibly McLean. So you have everything from no examples in the text because of the possibility of overpromising inflated expectations, something you said. Another option is keep them there because some people are just, it's all about money. They don't focus on public safety. They don't focus on humanitarian concerns. Or you split the baby and put Mecklenburg and put anything else in an endnote. You have lots of options.
The way the county board works is we give the sheriff his money, and he does what he damn well wants to. So you've got to sell this to him. And you're not going to sell this to him by saying he's like these places that make people, put people in jail for 10 days before they get arraigned, and that they'll save that kind of money with the pretrial services. So you have to sell it to him. Maybe you can get a closer look at the system here to see what actually would be saved here.
That's what,
you know, he's going to be, he's not going to be happy being, having people told this. And it's his money.
That's where we don't have the data from ILPP. If that's what you're saying, the exact impact here.
Yeah.
We had expected from ILPP that once we get the data, we can literally say, if you implement this, you'll get 45 out of there. And that kind of specifics, I quite frankly feel, is needed as decisions are made about what they're going to do with the jail.
Yeah.
But I don't know if ILPP they're is going to come through. There's, they should, but I can't say they are.
Well, we'll have a public meeting and we'll ask them. Mm-hmm. All right, because I don't want to not get to the other reports, and time is always essential for me. I would like for us to figure out how we could move forward on what's been presented so far as the draft, I see drafts on the top of that, of pretrial services, knowing that Scott is still working on some information from McLean County, knowing that we're trying to get some closer figures, possibly to figure out how much we could save in Champaign County for pretrial services, and those things could be added as we get closer to final report.
Here was my hope, that you would decide the question I just raised, that we would you would approve whatever other additions or changes you want to make, and that you would approve this with the understanding that there may still be basically a motion to amend based on McLean, or there may be a little tinkering if we go with the master plan proposal you have, Bruce, down the road. But basically, so we can say this is done. So
I would propose that we allow you the discretion to decide what to do with the question you just proposed, rather than a long discussion. I don't think it's worth it. And I'm persuaded by the arguments that people are making about some of the problems with the information and so forth, and I'm kind of the stickler on this, so I mean, I'll take my...
I think everybody should realize that they are selling this to the state's attorney, to the courts, and to the sheriff, because we have no control over that money.
I like this format, and I would like to recommend that we use this format, and it's in four parts. First, you state where we are currently. Then you state what improvement you'd like to make to that. Then you state what the recommendation is specifically and describe it. And then you do the cost system. If you know cost or impact, it doesn't have to be cost or impact information. And if we can organize our the big ones or whatever in that format, I think that we can keep it fairly concise and have the information people need to make a decision. So I would like to propose that we use these 6 pages or whatever as the format for how we organize our 6 pages.
Second.
It's been moved by Darlene, second by Astrid.
discussion on that?
I agree with the organizational structure that you just say it was for domains. I'm a little less, I just want to make sure that when I'm, this matters, that what we're agreeing to is that basic structure. Not necessarily the, it gets problematic, maybe it's just something that needs editing in some fashion. I'm still having a little trouble figuring out how to get the various parts to be look like they weren't written by committee, which of course is what they are being written by.
I had volunteered at the beginning, so I'm not writing a part necessarily, that I could sort of do the edit. I'm not going to change everybody's total way they write, but I could do, so for consistency, do the editing. Yeah, I would be willing to do that.
And I think that that was approved already, that Darlene, you were going to do that at the March 4th meeting. That was approved that you were going to write once everybody got into the format. So all in favor of the format as it's been presented and moved here tonight, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Ayes have it. Okay. I'm going to skip B, as I mentioned earlier, and move to Mr. Sardini. I'll move to you first under the detox portion of the presentation, which, of course, you just agreed to take your proposal and put it in the format that's been presented here. So that's the first.
Isn't it in that format?
That's the first action. All right, and we can move on to your proposal at this point.
Well, the thing that I was looking at is that it seemed that after we had the vision and we were looking at the priorities and needs, that detox came up again as a priority of funding. And in that priority, the detox program at this point has been presented to the state in terms of its funding capacity for the state. Going forward, the state is trying, based on the a bill that was passed by the Hospital Association, was to study the system of distribution of dollars and services for detox in the state for people who get into detox. And it's a wide, you know, the variety of it is just, you know, it's incredible in terms of the cost, the criteria, admission, discharge, and all of that. So on a statewide level, what they were looking at is a system-wide approach in order to have regional detoxes in place for all people to access. Right now, because of the closings where we close down, we're the last, what they consider a medically monitored detox in the state to close. So anybody in this area, in our area, has to drive 85 miles for detox. So you know what happens if you try at 2 o'clock in the morning to get somebody in detox, you're not going to get in. Let alone by the time they come back, they're using again. So what we had was a task force that met for the last year of individuals from the hospitals, individuals from the courts, individuals from the community that studied the issue and came to the conclusion that the detox from the task force was also the number one priority. So at this point, we submitted a proposal to the state for $875,000 to reopen the medical detox. Provena Hospital, now Presence Hospital, has come to the table to provide the brick and mortar on the entire fourth floor, which would move a 10 to 12 bed detox, medically managed detox, onto the fourth floor, as well as residential treatment. And this goes along with their overall vision of care, patient-centered care, that the patient is in front of it, so that they're also providing on the first floor what they consider a resource community center, RCC. And at that center, which would be housed by anybody who would want to come from the providership in the community, to be able to receive people out of emergency care or any other care into a one-stop shop. People could come in, get a screen done, get an assessment done, And based on that, like in our example, a person comes out of ER, is in need of detox, gets screened right away in ER, and doesn't get counted in as a hospital bed or a medical bed, goes right to the fourth floor for detox. If they need to go into crisis stabilization, they would go to the fifth floor. So you would have the transfer of intake, and then at discharge, if people are trickling back down, we also know that if you do a soft referral, meaning paper and pencil, it doesn't work. You need a hard referral, which I take Julian from crisis stabilization down to the fourth floor for his detox stay, into his residential stay, and then as he discharged in our planning, then go to the first floor, and I'm going to refer to Darlene, and I'm going to have even the transportation for you to go. Mm-hmm. So the hard exchange is then put in place. So what I'm asking for is we need a partner to step to the table, the county, of which everybody is asking for detox as a high priority, is that the county put money towards the additional, it's probably going to run us about $1.1 million to open. And we got $875 coming from the state. So whatever combination of dollars we get from the county is what I'm proposing. The county do something to offset some of that cost. The other thing that is occurring as we speak is that the drug court grant that we wrote three times now for the county is now, as of October, that federal grant is done. There are two critical pieces of that grant that the judge wants badly, and that is the coordinator's position for evaluation and the data that needs to be generated, and the other is the 0.25 position for the sheriff, one of the sheriff deputies, actually goes to the home to assist the people that they're looking at a home visit, that we actually have a deputy going into the home with them. That's going to run about $70,000. Now, those are just two proposals that I see as highly critical needs for this community right now. That I'm just giving an example of, which Lena's given an example, and James has given an example of all of us having ideas, but it doesn't fit into a master plan with the county board. So that master plan being, all of us can write grants and write ideas down, and we can fund some of those, but what do they do once the funding goes away? Where's the real gel into this? Where is the real ingredients in this pie going to come from? And I feel that, you know, what I've seen so far are there two things. There has to be a shift of thinking on the county board philosophically from incarcerating to rehabilitating. And that's going to take time, over a long period of time. And maybe you have to do some facility development, especially for women. That's going to come, and the county's going to have to look at that. But also with that is the shift to these community resource programs that we need to get to help with. I mean, you can throw all the money on the table you want to, you're going to save the county dollars, but if you don't have the community resources there to trade them off to, it won't happen. The other thing that has happened in both Astrid and Julian are on the board with the 708 board is that I feel that Klemenoff really kind of came off on Peter Tracy and the 708 pretty hard for the lack of a plan that seems to be centered around the inability of the 708 board to have their priorities in line and services in line, especially around the need of the jail, where so many of the inmates are in need of mental health substance abuse services. And the internal contract that they have for medical and mental health does not coordinate or trade or coordinate services, either prescriptions or to the community. So these people are recycling. Is that I think that, and Julian, I might be, you know, an master, is that Peter is looking at reprioritizing some of his priorities and his funding, and is looking at calling on his board to come up with a resolution shortly about reprioritizing some of the funding. so with that, I also know that we met with the mayor about services with Urbana. Mayor Pressing is also talking about taking the dollars that are directed for social services and looking at influencing the city of Champaign about when they reprioritize their shift in services from funding agencies to specific kinds of blocks or communities to attack it is to influence some of the funding there. So we have this fragmentation, if you will, of all of these independent things going on with no macro plan of where it fits.
So can I ask you, Mrs. Rodine?
Yeah.
I did read the recommendation 1 and 2 in the overview. Yours, of course, wouldn't necessarily be 10 pages, but you could make it 10 pages if
sure.
you wanted to lay out all of the facts behind the detox and the closing, which is really important for the county board to know. That was one of the areas that I've been arguing that we need to shift our priorities and support the detox center and support the drug court on a larger scale. And so if we could get, I don't know if Judge Ford would do that or his staff would do that, but to flesh out how we could expand the drug court specifically and how we could support what do you want from the county. So if, even if the city's participated, if the city of Urbana and City of Champaign committed $115,000, would the county commit $115,000 annually to support the program? I think that putting that together,
yeah.
putting it specifically in the format that we've approved here, and then sending that to Darlene would be helpful in moving this piece forward. Unless there's some objection to the request that he's making.
I just have, it's more a general question about structure, because right now, and Julian mentioned this, and I think we have a big question here. We've got a more general recommendation that says comprehensive improvements should be made to mental health and substance use disorder treatment programs and services in order to develop a behavioral health system of care that avoids incarceration, reduces recidivism, promotes rehabilitation. That encompasses both mental health and substance use disorder. I think the vision, and here would be my question, that a lot of times these things overlap. People use substance abuse because they're trying to deal with the issues of mental health and so on and so forth. And in any event, you have co-occurring disorders. But within that, because that covers, there are so many issues. It is such a fragmented system. It's so deficient. There's no detox. You've got the proposal for the IFP dealing with those who go to the emergency center with mental health problems. There's the drug court issue. I guess just in terms of a vision, is it possible to keep this as the recommendation and then establish there's probably 20 things this county needs to do, but I don't think you want to outline all of them. But figure out what are the, and you'd have to decide what is it going to be 3 or 4 priorities that just have to go now under that, and then bring it back to us. Is it the drug court? Is it this? Is it this? Is it issuing the IFP? One of the possibilities to split it up and do substance abuse, mental health. I'm a little afraid of the appearance that, well, you want money for pretrial services, you want money for reentry, you want money for this, and the reality is, yes, we do, because we want to reduce incarceration, et cetera. But I like keeping this together personally, because I do think they end up overlapping a lot. But I wanted to raise that, because right now when you say his proposal, that is part of what's recommendation 4. What you brought is part of recommendation 4. It's not a separate recommendation.
Well, if I could speak to that. I think it's common to refer to mental health and substance abuse in a kind of, you know, sort of the way you refer to things. It's a linguistic form. I have nothing but complete agreement with every single thing Bruce just said. However, there are a fair number of people with serious mental health problems who do not abuse drugs. Having a detox center will do them not any good at all. Nor will it help, except, well, in some instances it will help, the police on the street who have to decide, where am I going to take this person, and they can't get anything for them, so they put them in jail. So what I'm concerned about, the reason I'm now suggesting separating these two, is because I think they were asking for somewhat different things. They have to be separated and also understood as part of the system at the same time. So everything that, it's interesting how this is working. Peter Tracy and I, ever since I got on the mental health board, which is only 2 months ago, started talking about what are the priorities of the board. And I agree that Peter is quite willing to reconsider those priorities. And really, Peter, there's a board, so the board has to decide what it wants to do. And it is the case that all this is going to be very much related to what Bruce is saying. So maybe we do have to talk about these things in related ways. The question of whether or not you need separate proposals is sort of the bottom line of it. But before I get to that point, so at our most recent mental health board meeting, we invited the police who have been trying to present their problem of dealing with people on the street and having no place, no forum in which they were getting heard. And we had the sheriff and the administrator at the jail. And there is no disagreement from law enforcement. And the sheriff, the jail administrator, the policeman on the street, and there. We only had the Urbana police present, but I know because I've been to meetings that this is also true for Champaign, with a little less maybe enthusiasm, but they have the problem. So what I'm wanting us to do is to recognize that we have a practical reality. Maybe it's sort of like what Astrid was saying before, when she said, well, the sheriff has this money. The sheriff has to decide what to do. All of this, there is, in fact, about $500,000 that is spent in the jail, I understand, for services. The point that Bruce just made, I want to reinforce it from the mental health side as well as substance abuse, that there is a serious problem of coordination of what goes on in terms of services in the jail, and the separated out these community agencies. So part of the problem that I'm seeing, and remember, I'm not the commissioner of mental health, and I'm not working for some program. All I'm doing is looking at the services that are available. What I understand about mental health services in this community is they're delivered by independent agencies, and those agencies do what some combination of they want to do, they can do, and what they can get support to do. So all the county really can do, if it wants to deal with the problem of coordinating services, is to think about how to use its money for services in a more coordinated fashion, and also to ask the other entities in the community to participate in helping with this problem, because it's a problem not just for the jail but for the cities as well. So all of which leads me to want to find some method for proposing that when it comes down to numbers, I don't know what numbers to tell you.
Okay, let me ask you a question, because I think I got lost a little bit in the story. You're asking that the recommendation be separated into two separate recommendations.
Well, what I'm saying is, I don't think it would be helpful I think they have to be clearly defined as substance. They need a detox center, and that's not the same as needing a center for people who have serious problems with mental illness that gets them into trouble with the law. So I don't want it to be viewed as that's the solution. That's my main concern.
Right. I don't think under the recommendation, even as the recommendation stands right now, that when Darlene gets the reports from each section that she's going to just blend them all together. The detox center is under recommendation number four, but it is a, here's item one, and here's item two that deals with mental health. Because you're right, everybody with mental health problems don't use drugs. So here's a recommendation two to deal with the mental health issue, because it's a very separate issue, but it still falls under recommendation number four.
Well, there's nothing sacred about recommendation four. Is there? You see recommendation four and five.
That's what I'm saying. I asked you initially, did you want to separate them? And you didn't say yes. Okay, so what I'm trying to figure out is if you want to separate the recommendations, I'm not wedded to one. We need to make a decision and separate them or not.
Well, I think that's fine. I think, yeah, we can separate them, but I think there's another piece here, and that both Bruce and Julian are speaking to, is the fact that there, and I think we need to somehow acknowledge this in the report, there's been quite a bit of movement in terms of what the Mental Health Board is looking at, and in terms of trying to develop this kind of systemic approach and have some fit between the way the county board perhaps spends the money on the public safety sales tax, the way the mental health board spends their money, the way they envision a system. And I think somehow in our report we should acknowledge that, and that that's a positive direction that we want to encourage, because that's been happening, and it's a fairly recent kind of thing. But it's movement that we want to promote. And I think it wasn't there initially, and we have the coordinating council, and we have this and that, but I think these are very specific things that are happening that we want to recognize and note and encourage the board and the mental health board to work together as much as they can to develop a broader systemic kind of approach to things and how things are funded.
That's true.
I think we have to think like fundraisers. I think we need to realize that we are selling our story. And I think you have to sell detox, your substance abuse and mental illness separately. Yes, there's overlap. But I think you have to sell them separately.
Make a motion.
Okay. I would move that we'll have divide up what is now recommendation number four, so that one recommendation will refer to mental health treatment programs and services, and the other one will refer to substance use disorder treatment programs. I don't propose that we do the drafting now, but the main thing is to preserve in both recommendations that there's a reference to a system of care that avoids incarceration, reduces recidivism, and promotes rehabilitation. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second.
Well, I mean, I have something else I wanted to add into that, so I don't know if that's going to fit in there or if we're going to talk about that separately. The point that I raised.
The point that you raised to include there, I think that's in the draft report. I don't think that's in the recommendation. I think this question really is specific to separating the recommendation so that you would have two separate ones, dealing one with detox and one with mental. Seeing no discussion on that, all in favor of the separation of recommendation four, say signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposition? Seeing none. So now we voted to separate those two. I'd like for a practical purpose to ask if there's a volunteer to actually redraft this language. Not here. Darlene, would you be willing to separate those two?
Sure.
Darlene, to separate those and put them in separate recommendations. James, is it something we both looked at?
I would like to then volunteer to write some language for what I just spoke to and look at where how it might fit into the.
Can you coordinate with Darlene?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
As an example, one of the things that we have talked about is there's this movement about drafting a proposal of which the county would be the funding source for the Justice and Mental Health Collaboration Program. And so Elements would be writing that planning grant for $50,000. And in that grant, which they look at is a combination of substance abuse and mental health services, is how do we now start to address systematically on a countywide level to address the needs? Because one of the things that I'm hearing from the sheriff is that The patrolman doesn't know where to go. So where do you go on the front end? And once they get, and what they have been using is the ER, is that's the highest cost to bring somebody. Is there something more appropriate than an ER? But what's happening in Chicago and everything, everyone else, is once you triage at ER, you have to wean out. Some of these people are there for medical reasons. Some people are there for the mental reasons, and they have psychotic breaks, they need psychotic care. Some of them need the detox care or a combination of all three. So you have to have some way of delineating that. And part of our recommendation on the state level is that you actually have mental health and substance abuse trained counselors at the ER that can assess and refer out. The hospitals are going, we welcome that. Like, we can't believe you're even thinking on all those terms because they don't know what to do with them. So that's part of the $875,000 proposal is staffing. That's part of it. The planning grant that's going in here, if it's successful with the county, would help, I think, identify for Dr. Klamanoff and for Peter to start putting together the systems approach. Because you will now start in the planning grant for a year for $50,000, is the technical assistance of evaluating the gaps in the problems and tying that together. So once you get that done for a year, then you can go on to the $250,000 grant for 3 years of funding, of which then you're delivering services. So again, does this fit into the master plan?
One of the problems with this is that the hospitals, they pick up this person, they call the hospital, the emergency room, that person's fired. He's got behavioral problems, that's not mental problems, he's fired. And many of the people the police deal with are barred from both emergency rooms.
That's true.
So they have no place to take them with them but the jail.
And that's why we
need to do that. And until you get this behavioral business dealt
with, right.
You can't solve that with your problem. With your solution either.
But the hospital is going to deal with it with the Medicaid expansion. Because now, with Medicaid expansion, is now people have a card that they can go in to an emergency room. Before, you could bar them because they had no money. Now, you can't deny the service because the person has a medical card. And we're looking at most of the people that we see, 70% of our people are co-occurring. They have a mental health and a substance abuse diagnosis. Those people, and especially men, who did not have Medicaid before, will now have Medicaid. And they're going to present at ER. And they're looking at it from the standpoint of, help us get rid of them from ER, because that's where the high cost is.
So I want to, Mr. Sardini, you're clear and prepared to prepare your report and get it to Darlene in the same format as recommended already here. I want to close out Bruce's portion of this.
I have some points that I think will save us a lot of time. That's what I'm looking at. So I want to reiterate, but now we have a separate recommendation on substance abuse, separate on mental. I still feel, and I don't know what those priorities are, I feel that it's important in each of those to identify, like, it may be the three, and it may not necessarily be money, it may be structural, the three most important changes to highlight. And then you can mention bullets, some additional ones are in a footnote or something, not in there, but some others down the road, but to profile. Number two, if I was a county board member, here's a question I would be raising. Our priority as a task force right now is to be focusing on keeping people out of the criminal justice system, avoiding incarceration, reducing recidivism, and promoting rehabilitation. The reality is there are a lot of people with substance abuse problems who I know theoretically can get in the system, but this is still not, and so I don't want to detract from the value of this, but I think it's important to consider, as you draft this, ways to target the county's money right now towards that population, people who are at high risk. And we can't say everybody who abuses is necessarily going to get in the system.
because otherwise we're going to lose funding for these projects that are literally going to keep people out of the jail, and that, I think, is our priority right now. So I think that's something that's important. And finally, in terms of the drafting, I just want to make sure, it sounds like then that he will draft something, it will come back to us, and then there will be efforts to make it consistent. Because I don't see the statistics about a lot of the statistics. I don't see the research that shows this will be cost-effective and things like that. I know of it, you know of it, et cetera. But it's my understanding that will happen.
My understanding is that he's going to make a draft in the same format.
Okay.
He's going to provide us the details because we don't have them currently under mental health or detox. We would get the numbers and details for the report. Ultimately, Darlene is going to be the compiler of putting it all together right into the single report with the recommendations that they fit under. That's
right.
That's what I understand.
Okay.
Can I just clarify something here? Because as we're doing this, something's coming to mind that just concerned me a little bit. Is the group going to endorse specific programs for funding by the county that potentially we could be doing RFPs for or something? I mean, is there something, are we endorsing the concept of a detox center, or are we endorsing that the Prairie Center should provide a detox center in Champaign County? I'm just trying to do that.
I think so already is there.
Well,
I thought it was detox. I thought it was mental health.
So we're doing the alternatives.
We're not specific.
No,
we're saying
here's
some
alternatives
to incarceration.
Okay.
Here's some.
No,
resources.
I don't believe so.
That I don't see anything different.
I mean, we've got community concepts. We've got the Prairie Center. These are going to be the service providers. And yes, I think we have to say, here, you know, here's what we got, and here's what we hope they can do with some money. I don't think the concept of detoxes is really going to move the board. I think they're going to say, we've got someone who can do it. How much money will it take to get them to do it? The same with mental health. We've got the people to do it. These are our local facilities. And what do we have to do to get them to do what we want?
I think that the question is a great question, Darlene, and I would like for us to put it on to our agenda for the next meeting so we can really make that determination. I don't think we have to make it at this moment, but I think we should certainly talk about the pros and cons of doing that. I have some thoughts about it, but I think we should put it on the agenda for the next month so we can have a discussion, just a discussion on how we want to either approve specific programming, which or not.
But I mean, I think it does create a problem for the people that are writing the proposals, because are you writing a proposal for a generic, or are you writing a proposal for specific programs? I don't know if that's a problem for you, but
I'd be writing a specific
program. Yeah, so I mean, but then, you know, then if you change, then you have to rewrite it again. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
So let me speak to that point, if I may, that I think it's a great question. And we probably need to resolve it sooner rather than later. In this way, you may remember, those of us who were on the task force earlier, that Mark from the Minnesota
Driscoll.
Mark Driscoll said very concretely, and he was not representing, he was on the task force as a citizen, not as a member of the mental health team. I think that is the correct approach. I don't think you should be representing a program on this task force. I think you should be representing an idea. If it turns out, and you know, the world is practical, so if it turns out that you're the viable program that's proposed, well, then that's the way it turns out. But I don't think this committee, frankly, I actually resist the idea that we would decide what programs and which agencies, even if we think we can make a good guess about who they are, should do these services, if we're talking about community services, because it's just the wrong way to operate. First of all, we're not confident as a group to make those decisions, and we're not set up to make those decisions. which will, all this will lead to what I assume you want to talk about next is some of the things, at least, that I'm suggesting. So, but maybe let's just think about this one at the moment. I think it should not be structured in which, in a way that presumes exactly which program, which agency in this community. But certainly, well, anyway, maybe I said it enough.
So let me just make you all aware. My time is only until 8 o'clock, 7:30. So we can debate this question right now, but we won't finish our agenda by 8 o'clock. I understand both sides, that if we don't debate it now, then the person writing it, we could. But on the other hand, I think the recommendation could be written exactly the way he wants to write the recommendation, because it's coming back to us before we even put it in the final.
It affects his and his too. It affects all three.
No, I understand. So, yeah. No, I'm clear.
Well, I couldn't possibly
I'm
do
sorry,
it the
but
other way.
Let me chair, please. I understand that each one is specific recommendations. I completely understand that. And all of them, once they are put in the format that we are asking for, it's got to come back to this body anyway. And we're going to do this again. We're going to discuss this very thing again at the next meeting, because we're not at the phase of final drafting that Darlene will be working on. So I believe, in my estimation, that we can hold the question for a second, because he's going to do that work regardless to what we do here, because he's already doing that work. That recommendation that James wrote is going to be done regardless of what the county board does. So I don't think that's going to change whether they're going to do the work or not. I think what we need to determine is whether we want to make specific recommendations or not. And we can make that determination either now, and we can postpone some of the other items on the agenda, or we can make the recommendation and discuss the question at the next meeting. That's what I'm posing to the committee right now, which is the preference.
The only thing, just because I just maybe drafted, it took a long time for me to draft that. And I would hate to have drafted. So in other words, what James has done, I'll give this as an example because I raised this.
So can we answer the question?
Well, I would vote for
to that
recommendation.
That right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Decision. Do we want to make the decision now and move our agenda to the next week so we can come back to the next proposal?
Put a time frame on trying to make the decision.
I mean, the difficulty is, can we get a minute to express our view on it?
Okay. So, and
can
you keep time?
That's what I'm doing. Because we got to leave here at 8 o'clock. So, I feel we should craft these three recommendations in terms of we need a detox, but include ingredients. For example, I know you would like, I think it's, and research confirms this can be helpful to have formerly incarcerated persons serve as care mentors. So the IFP could call for certain ingredients. It may end up that a particular organization is then going to get it, but to put it in general terms, that way you never know. There may be some other group that's going to come in with just a bang-up approach to fill in the blanks, reentry, et cetera. We'll get better quality proposals. I think we avoid conflict of interest issues. That's my view. Okay.
In the case of the detox center, you can talk about the cost of the negotiations with Provena and Carl and so on. As principals, there are dollar amounts being gathered from specific outfits and being paid to her, et cetera. And I don't see how you can do that in the abstract. The county board will want to know who is getting the money, how much it takes, and whether the people who do it will be able to do it. That's another thing with principals. You can't talk about money in principals, because they want to know that the person that's going to get the money can do the job.
Mr. Sharding, were you going to make a comment? Were you going to make a comment?
No.
Okay. Any other comment on whether we should specific programs or general?
I think we could do both. That is, some things could be specific, some things could be general.
Yes.
If you're comfortable that way, my own feeling is the conflict of interest issue that you raised is I would favor principles, but regardless, it's okay with me if other people are comfortable proposing it specifically. But I could, there's no way that I could write a mental health proposal because I can't speak for, well, I couldn't speak for the agencies. There's nobody here that would speak for the mental health agencies. If you want to do it that way, you should have the mental health agency people here doing this. And they're people who provide the services. I don't provide them. I don't have any control over what they do. But I might have some control, or at least I'm a voting member now, of a mental health board that gives out dollars. They could write, they can, this is the reason for my approach, which is to suggest that what they do, and I believe this is what the mental health board would be willing to do, which is to reconsider its priorities to now include more attention to the problems for people with serious mental illness who get in trouble with the law. That has not been a priority. My impression is, by the way, that, and so now I'll say this speaking as a, not for the mental health board, but as a little more informed about it. It sounds like they have a lot of money, but they also have a lot of responsibilities. There are many people with mental illness in this community who don't come near the police or the jail. And the mental health board is responsible for a wide network of people so that there's been some. It's not an accident that they haven't paid attention to the people who are in the jail. So in order to be induced in that direction, there's going to need to be, and I don't know how to put this in a report, but I do know how to say it and be happy to talk to individual people about it, but there's going to have to be some sense that the rest of the community is putting up its fair share so that the people at the jail and the people in the county and the people in the cities have some stake in providing mental health services, and don't expect that just because there's a board called the Mental Health Board that some huge portion of their services will be for people who get in trouble with the law as some privileged group. Because people are concerned about lots of people. So what I'm saying is there needs to be some sort of way to create incentives for the various units to collaborate with one another, both in funding and in planning.
Can I ask you, are you saying you are, or should this committee be recommending, because this is just a recommendation committee, it's only a task force, approving specific programming or not? Specific or not?
Specific kinds of programming, not naming agencies or settings for it.
Okay, we only have like a couple minutes left.
I think having this discussion, I think we have three people in three different positions. I mean, Bruce's proposal is totally, he's totally embedded in his proposal in the organization. I don't think he can probably write that proposal any other way. I'm kind of halfway in between, and Julian is not really embedded in the proposal. I think we should just go ahead and write the proposals that we're going to write, and then we're going to have to bring them back to the board and discuss them in the context of the issues of conflict of interest and all that, and see if we're prepared to take them forward the way.
That's my recommendation also. That's what we started.
That's general.
No. That you write your proposal the way you
specific.
That's right.
Do what works.
General. Just do it, and then we
will. But we have to revisit the proposal.
And we'll look at them all when they come back.
Is this going to represent a conflict of interest?
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So we are going to move on. I think what I just realized in your conversation, Mr. Rappaport, is that you're not prepared to write an actual recommendation, or you're going to just write a general one under mental health?
Well, it depends on how you're defining an actual recommendation.
Under the what we voted on earlier in the format.
I have some specific recommendations.
Oh, okay. So you're going to submit them in the format specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with the format.
Okay.
But my recommendation would take the form of, so for example, using the case manager approach supplemented with number one in what I said there at the bottom of the first page is a very specific recommendation.
Okay. And so you're gonna put that in the form.
And so is two.
Yeah.
And you know what's not specific here, or what I didn't indicate were dollars.
Okay.
Except there's a principle which I didn't express very well, and you said better. The principle is, in order to make this work, there needs to be contributions from various units of government, because they all have a stake in it. And that's the only part that I didn't express very well. Or I'm sure I didn't express a lot of things very well, but I didn't express explicitly.
Okay.
But those, so I consider those, maybe this is sort of addressing the question. Well, I'm saying these are specific. They're not specific in the sense of, you know, well, here's the way the program will work, and here's how many people you need, and here's... Because that's what I think we have to... That's why I think what we need to do is have a fund in which local agencies can apply and give us their proposals to deal with these priorities, because they have to figure out what will work for them, too.
Well, that's what the Mental Health Board is.
Well, that's what the Mental Health Board does now is entertain proposals. But its priorities have not been focused on
their priorities.
We want to move their priorities. I think they're a part of the county, right? We want to move their priorities to be more attentive to the problems of people who run into legal hassles. All I'm suggesting is strategically that's going to require more than just saying, "Well, give us more money."
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. We're going to move to item D. James wanted to just put a couple footnotes on to his...
I got feedback from the meeting last time, but I felt that we needed, and also getting particularly some comments from Lynn, I felt that we needed to do some more background research and have meetings with other people to get this proposal in a bigger context. So I've been working with Marlon Mitchell from the Prison Ministry, and we've met with Darlene Bruce. Marlon's also met with Police Chief Cobb. We've been in contact with the Department of Corrections, and we're meeting with a working group in Champaign that's been looking at reentry programs. And then we're also going to meet tomorrow with Bruce Barnard, who was part of the team that designed a proposal for reentry for Champaign County, which wasn't funded. So we're trying to get we want to get more information about A, what's been done in the past, and B, to get some statistical information, particularly around the issues that pertain to Champaign County, around issues of recidivism, issues, perhaps numbers of people that are coming from DOC that end up in the county jail, so we can have a more grounded proposal, a proposal that's more grounded in the details of Champaign County. We may get some information from ILPP on this as well, but if you've read the proposal, you can see right now it's drawing a lot on statewide information, which is not exactly the same as Champaign. So I'm hoping that by with the meeting tomorrow and with a couple of other meetings next week, I'll be able to pull together the information that's needed to rework it and put it into the proposed format that people are requesting.
Any questions for James on that?
Okay.
All right.
I'm thinking that the way I want to read what you're saying is that this is the type of program that we ought to be supporting. It doesn't really call, or does it call for like specific individuals who will get the funding at this point? Because what I would suggest is that would be an example of what we need is a pool of funds dedicated to that concept, and then people such as yourself or the people you're working with have a place to take their proposal to get funded. So it seems to me that our job here is to help to create the possibility for people to do that, not to decide this is it. That's my... whatever it's worth. I don't know exactly how that intertwines here, but I think it does intertwine what we're doing. I don't think we are the ones to decide this is it. It will be this program going to these people.
we won't be able to anyway, so.
Well, I think it's a mistake to even to make it look like we think that.
Well,
we ought to be policy related is what I'm suggesting.
I understand. We don't have an action on secure words at all, so is there other business that needs to be discussed?
Traffic fines. I haven't been able. They're 20% in the jail. It plucks out productive members of society who have homes, jobs, and it throws them away. The National County of Sheriffs is upset about it. They want for first offenders to have them put a breathalyzer and an ignition interlock in, and that's it. That's what you get for your first offender. And since they've lowered it to 0.08, which is two drinks for a lot of people are not that impaired at 0.08. And MAD, which has been pushing all this with Alex, has really become a spokesman, I think, for the Corrective Corporation. New America, yeah. Because they're into lowering the definition of drunk. Now, drunk is drunk. But they're into lowering the definition and raising the penalties. And an awful lot of these poor people are on mandatory sentences. And they can't drive for a year. Well, if they've got to drive to work or they're going to lose their house, then they'll drive. And then that adds another year. And pretty soon, they're in jail. Their lives are ruined. It just is a real ruiner of, you know, nice young guys who just drove home after a party. And all of a sudden, they're in this for years.
So, Astrid, can I recommend...
we'll get something for that next time.
Well, not just that, but that I have a sought assistance with that particular issue, that possibly it could be recommended under potential recommendation number 6, which deals with community-based diversion, deferred adjudication, since an option should be made available within the county, be properly implemented in accordance with the evidence-based practices and be adequately funded. So possibly the sheriff has all the money, right? He could determine to do that.
He does what he can.
But possibly that could fall under that recommendation, and then we could have another person support the traffic piece, not necessarily from this table, but to make a recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. We're leaving. next meeting for the task
force. ILPP meeting. Monday night.
Oh, announcement, yes.
Yeah, Monday night is the meeting with ILPP, 6 o'clock for Vance.
6 o'clock, did you say?
Yeah. 108 East Water Street. We thank the county for helping us publicize it.
Oh, I was going to ask if we had sent it out for the county yet.
We sent it out. We sent it to the news media. We sent all the elected officials and appointed officials and stuff.
So
it's
all
kind of.
So that's
so
it. Next meeting.
Any of you there?
For the task force.
Well, that's a public hearing. We want to set another.
Public hearing.
We need to set a next meeting. So just the task force, right?
Yes. And what we're focusing
on.
What
is the next meeting?
I think we said it in the minutes, actually.
Well, we're off. We're off schedule now. So
Monday is the public hearing.
I sent an email about the public hearing. Can we discuss the next meeting for the task force?
Yeah.
How much time do people have? If you keep meeting on Mondays, which you have then, you're looking at April 8th, April 15th, you have a meeting on April 1st with the public hearing.
Is there a problem with April 8th for people?
What day of the week is that?
A Monday, probably. April 8th. April 8th. That will be right after the public meeting. So.
Well, the question is, can these three or at least
would that be enough time for you all?
Yeah. It's really just a week away when you consider it.
Yeah.
So they
I prefer the 15th or the
22nd. I prefer the 22nd.
Well, the 22nd?
This we had it scheduled April
8th
and then the 22nd. So it 15th would work, but otherwise,
can we do the 15th? Well, you don't have much to do, though, at this point. I'm sorry, I don't mean it like that, but he's going to have them clean, and she's going to make sure it's done, right? Because you got a partner in on this. But okay, so we're going to do the 15th, April 15th at 6 o'clock, and then we'll be on track again.
I'll be here if my taxes are done.
Send this to me. when you get a chance.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what we'll do is I'm going to coordinate with Ms. Busey. I'm going to coordinate with Ms. Busey so that we can get the agenda to follow our task force. We already know what we're covering because the minutes will be available, and we'll get back on track according to our timeline that we've already voted for. So I'll get with Ms. Busey to make sure that we get those two lined up, okay?
So we have the hearing on Monday?
Correct.
Right. And are we going to meet again with Carmen?
Not
no,
to
he's
knowledge.
Not here long enough.
Nice.
Well, he's only scheduled to be back next Monday or Tuesday, and he won't be here that week.
Okay.
Not very long.
Yes, sir.
Are we attending that meeting as a task force or as individuals?
Otherwise, we have announced it as a public meeting.
I mean, Sherry announced
it as individuals, but if we're there and get introduced, at least the people know they're talking not only to the Kalmanoff, but to the council.
I mean, it's been publicly noticed. So you can wear a task force badge.
I mean, we could refer. I'm not saying that I will. I just make clarifying in my own head here what I'm doing.
You were all maintaining this.
Yeah. Well, we refer to the task force.
We are not having a hearing, which would have been highly appropriate. I think we could learn what the public wants from this hearing.
So,
where is it
going to be located? 108 East Water Street.
I entertain adjournment.
Second.